strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. It's the Mike Broomhead Show. Happy Friday. Let's talk about policing. There is a lot of opinions out there on how we improve policing. And I will tell you, for most of us, myself included, it comes from a place of ignorance. And what I mean by that is I've never been a cop. And I have been around cops my entire life. I've been blessed to have a lot of them friends. I've done probably a lot more ride-alongs and watched police work closer than most people have. I would say most, not all, but most people have. So I think I have some insight into policing, but that doesn't mean I've ever done the job. I've never had to make those decisions. I've never had to approach a vehicle late at night, someone I didn't know by myself. I've never had to do those things. But everybody seems to have an opinion how we improve policing. And I think that's all fine and well. We all should have opinions, and it's a conversation we should have. There's an organization called We Rising, and they align themselves. One of the things I asked Jacob Rayford for, he's their lead organizer here in town, was I asked him if he's part of Defund the Police or the Black Lives Matter movement, and he said that they are in favor of defunding the police. And from the gist of what I got from my conversation with Mr. Rayford is they want to take money from the police department and create an unarmed force to deal with some of the things that officers are dispatched to. Then I would say that there are a number of things that police officers deal with that aren't things that cops should have to deal with, but they are, and they are dealing with them. And I think that, and I mean this very sincerely, some of these opinions come from a place of ignorance, not stupidity. I'm certainly not insulting someone's intelligence. It's a place of ignorance. It's not knowing. Routine traffic stop. Well, unfortunately, tomorrow is the funeral of a Chandler police officer. It was the end result of what started as a routine traffic stop in Pinal County out near Eloy, where the suspect didn't want to stop and started shooting from his vehicle at a moving police car. And it ended with two police officers being run over, one killed and one severely injured. No such thing as a routine traffic stop. Domestic violence or a domestic disturbance call. One of the most dangerous things that a police officer deals with. You want to send counselors, you want to send people. The situation becomes violent sometimes. And if you're not able to protect yourself, bad things can happen. So I want you to hear a little bit of what Mr. Rayford had to say. This is where he's talking about the nonviolence and a new group of people.
What we're looking to do is create a new department that would serve as a buffer between, the community and the issues of, police culture, over policing, hyper policing. And, this department would, of course, specialize in, crisis assistance, behavioral assistance, substance abuse, calls pertaining to the unsheltered community. But when you expand upon that and look at a lot of the calls, such as what is categorically defined by the police department as nonviolent crimes.
They say nonviolent, but sometimes they are nonviolent because you're confronted with an armed officer. So, anecdotal as it is, I was doing a ride along with Phoenix PD. We were at Thomas Road, just west of the 60 of Grand. And at a bus stop, there was a guy sleeping at the bus stop. Somebody called because he wouldn't, whatever happened. It was called. Police were called there. And the guy got belligerent. He was so drunk, he didn't even know it was the police. And it became almost violent. It didn't. There was no violence that occurred, but it certainly was a verbal altercation that was escalating. Police live by a couple of different principles and then in their training. This I'm aware of. And it's ask them, tell them, make them. And that's the escalation of things with an officer. If an officer says, please take your hands out of your pockets, do me a favor, take your hands out of your pockets. And then in the interest of safety, taking their hands out of their pockets because you don't know if they have a weapon or not. Those are the levels. There's an escalation. Sometimes it's called the ladder of force. And it starts at verbal commands and it ends at lethal force. That doesn't mean you have to touch every rung on the ladder, but that's how it escalates. And it's a response to what you are facing. And so to say that the police are not responding, and that was part of the question, is are you saying that these, what are you saying that officers are violent when they don't need to be? Are they using unnecessary force? Here was his answer.
Police officers are using force when it's not necessary. And just based off the culture of policing, it's difficult to, or impossible, really, to be honest, to, lead through a specific lens when it comes to behavioral crises and substance abuse crises and calls pertaining to the unsheltered community.
And so this is where we differ. And where we differ on this is that the, and I'm not saying it never happens, but it's not a common practice that an officer uses physical violence or force when it's unnecessary. Cops do not want to get into a physical struggle with people. I know that for a fact. They do not want what they call going hands on. They want to avoid doing that. COVID-19 has stopped a lot of that from happening. But there are times when an officer must take control. Now, I'm not saying that this group, that We Rising, is anti-establishment or anti-authority. But there were a few times in the interview where Mr. Rayford talked about the authorities. And we do give cops the authority. We, as citizens of our society, have said this group of people is going to be given a badge and the authority to take charge of a situation, which means they can give you lawful commands another person can't. I cannot see you speeding down the road, pull up next to you at a traffic light, walk up to your car and say, get out of your car. You are speeding. Let me see your driver's license. You have every right to laugh in my face and drive away. If a police officer does it, you have to comply. We've given them, through our legislation, we have given them that kind of power. And with that comes a great amount of responsibility. I would venture to say that most people have no idea how much training an officer gets. Now, is there room for more and better training? There always is. And that's what this conversation should be about. Where Mr. Rayford, and I mean this respectfully, Mr. Rayford is saying that we should have less police officers and then this unarmed force of counselors that are dealing with nonviolent situations, which you never know when they're going to turn violent. How many people are going to want to walk into a situation without any preparation, when I say preparation, any chance of protecting themselves? In a situation with a drug overdose or a mental health crisis, people call the police for those things to happen because when things go violent, that's what the police do. But in addition to that, the statistic I've been using, I will keep using over and over and over again, is the real picture, the mental picture that the city of Philadelphia is smaller in landmass than Phoenix, and it also is smaller in population. We passed them a couple of years ago in population. The Phoenix Police Department is about half the size of the Philadelphia Police Department. So my argument is, if you want better trained officers, if you want officers that are able to show up at a situation and they can handle it without violence, you need more cops, not less. You need a lot more cops and not less. When a lone officer is by themselves facing a suspect with a deadly weapon, a knife, they're not going to pull out a taser. They're not going to opt for less than lethal. That's not part of their training, and it never should be. What they're going to do is they are going to protect themselves and other innocent people with lethal force. When there are multiple cops on the scene, you know that part of the training is that there is someone that is armed with less than lethal at certain times. They're not going to face somebody with a gun with less than lethal, but someone with a knife or a bat or something else that's not obeying commands, they can tase somebody and take them into custody. So my argument is for a lot more police and better training. When you're going to get that when you have more people able to do the job. And I hope that's where they go. In a moment, all the big news stories of the day. We do it in this segment of the show at 11:20. It's called Did You Hear This? We'll do it next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Been a busy news week, and today's been no different. So let's get to it right away. It's called Did You Hear This?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Yesterday, we sent a panda to the Maricopa County election audit because we found out that the ninjas are looking for ballots made out of bamboo.
Who sent the panda down there?
Well, us and Gatos and Chan, we had a panda in studio yesterday. Do you not remember this?
We had a panda in studio, but I didn't know it. We sent the panda down to the count.
Well, that was the idea. That was the concept.
Okay.
Send the panda down, sniff out the ballots made out of bamboo. It sounds like a fake story, but I promise this is real. So, Mike, you asked the audit spokesperson this morning, why are you looking for bamboo?
I don't expect that we're going to find any bamboo in the paper, but one of the people told Mr. Brakey that he thought that's why we were doing what we were doing. So there's nothing wrong, in my opinion, looking to make sure that there isn't bamboo in the paper or whatever.
You know, the bamboo or whatever.
I would I would say that he is in the minority there. When he says there's nothing wrong with doing this, I think he's in the minority. And I think that he needs to convince people it's the right thing to do. To say, I don't see anything wrong with it. I think a lot of people see a lot wrong with it. You are manipulating, and I mean handling, you're manipulating the ballots of people in Maricopa County. There are some that are already in your camp that believe that there was wrongdoing in the election. They're not the people you want to prove anything to. There are people that are nonpartisan, non-political, that vote independent, truly independent voters, and other people that think what you're doing is completely wrong. Those are the people that need to be convinced. And my concern is they are not convincing those people by looking for bamboo in the paper.
We've got an immigration crisis happening at our southern border, and yet we haven't heard a single thing about it from the president in weeks. So why doesn't he talk about it more? His press secretary basically says no one cares.
Really think about what the public cares about, right? The public cares about the pandemic, the economy. We're often asked, why doesn't he go to the border? Important issue, we're focused on it. What percentage of the public is focused on the border? A much smaller percentage than who's focused on the pandemic and the economy.
She might be right about all Americans in total, but as an Arizonan, how do you hear that?
Well, I hear it that we're not paying attention to the border is what we most people are hearing, and not so much by those words, but by their lack of action. And I would say this, and I'm not one to call people to action necessarily, but if they're not hearing from you that this is an important issue, maybe they need to. And I don't mean in a rude, threatening way. I mean, why aren't we calling? I guarantee you that Kyrsten Sinema and Mark Kelly know full well that Republicans, Democrats, and Independents in Arizona care a lot about what's happening at the border, which is why they are in opposition to the policies of the White House. And I believe they're doing it, you know, for the right reasons. But the right reasons are the people of Arizona don't want to see people just dropped off at bus stops. And they don't want to see people here that aren't supposed to be here, that they want a better system. And we are not alone in that. So maybe the people in this country ought to be making their voices heard a little bit more, and maybe they would change their policies and change their tune. You're listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day, Monday through Friday, I should say, at 11:20, to catch you up on the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. What do we got left, Steve?
We've had three approved vaccines in Arizona for months now. But remember, they're all being used under emergency approval only. But now, one of them is seeking full approval.
The Pfizer vaccine has been authorized for emergency use. Now the company believes it has enough safety and efficacy data to seek FDA approval, the regulator's gold standard. It's a long process. Pfizer will submit the necessary data over the next several weeks, and the FDA will take months to review it.
What's the significance of full approval?
I don't know. I mean, I shouldn't say I don't know. I just think that we've been using it almost at full approval, but now you're going to have wider distribution of this. You're going to have doctors having it in their doctor's office and easier access. And I think the easier access and more availability for people to get it conveniently is going to add to the numbers of people getting vaccinated and maybe get us past this stall that we've been in.
Yesterday, we talked about the strange lights in the night sky, which turned out to be SpaceX satellites, by the way. But now there's a new concern in the sky, and it's not a satellite. It's a Chinese rocket hurtling toward the Earth. Great.
The 20-ton rocket was not supposed to fly that high, but it did, and now it's out of control. Hurtling around Earth at 17,000 miles an hour. That's about 83 football fields each second.
And the odds are it won't hit anybody or any populated area, but it could.
You feeling lucky today, Mike?
I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but this has not been a good year or so for China, has it? I mean, there's been a pandemic, and now we got a rocket that's going to land somewhere, possibly in the U.S. This has not been a stellar year for PR for the Chinese government. So, no, I'm not necessarily worried, but my luck is that I have the 1 in a billion-plus chance of winning the lottery. That'll never happen. But somehow my house is going to get hit with this rocket. There's a better chance of that happening because that's my luck. Chinese government's got some PR work to do. I think they need to hire one of those firms that handles crisis management, because first a pandemic and now a rocket that's going to hand something. It's been a rough year for the Chinese.
When asked about this situation, the Chinese basically said, it's no big deal.
Yeah, they
did. It's not going to land in China. Why do we care?
They have been saying that the chances are that most of it is going to burn up on reentry. Well, that's encouraging.
Well, it's a large rocket, so even if most of it is gone, you're still talking big kaboom.
So imagine, though, if a piece of that rocket landed in your yard, that could be worth a lot of money on, like, eBay.
Yeah, but if it lands in your yard, what are the chances that you no longer have a yard?
Well,
it's traveling at 17,000 miles per hour.
I don't think the pieces will be that big, do you? I think they'll be smaller pieces.
It's a full rocket, dude.
I know.
And it's designed to fly through the atmosphere.
But it's going to burn up, they said, on reentry.
Will it? I don't know.
Because it's all about the angle in reentry. And so, anyway, I'm not going to go into my rocket scientist mode.
It's also a rocket. It was designed to go through the atmosphere and not burn up, right?
Just like every spacecraft goes through the atmosphere at a certain angle. If it comes in at the wrong, and didn't you watch Apollo 13? Didn't you watch the movie? If you come in at the wrong angle, you either skip back into space or you burn up on reentry.
Then why are we so worried about this rocket falling?
Because it's great theater. That's why. Now you know a piece of that is going to crush my motorcycle. That's what's going to happen.
83 football fields a second.
Yeah, that's pretty
crazy.
Fast.
Yeah.
All right, in a moment, we're going to talk about bamboo and the ballots. What exactly are we talking about? You'll hear it in just a moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks again for being here. Let's talk about Bamboo and the Ballots. It sounds like the name of a punk rock band. We are searching for bamboo and ballots in Maricopa County. And this is a tough topic for me. Very tough topic for me. I have known the people involved in this for a long time, some of them better than others. I've known Ken Bennett for quite a few years. He's a former Secretary of State. I know him to be an honest guy. I casually know Anthony Kern. I don't have any reason to think that he's a cheater or a liar. And Karen Fan, the Senate President, I've had the pleasure of getting to know her a little bit. I think these are good people. I don't have any idea who the cyber ninjas are. I don't think most of the country knows who the cyber ninjas are. The guy that's advising, there was a guy at a press conference yesterday named John Brakey. And he was talking about, he's the director of Audit USA. And the reasoning behind us looking for bamboo in the ballots.
What they're looking for is folds and pieces of paper because there's a guy who came out and said certain things.
Now, that's the other one. That was the guy that said certain things. This is the bamboo comment.
There's accusations that 40,000 ballots were flown in.
To Arizona?
Into Arizona, and it was stuffed into the box, okay? And it came from the southeast part of the world, Asia, okay? And what they're doing is to find out if there's bamboo in the paper.
Now, who is your source? That's an important piece here. When he said someone made the accusation, who? There was a dossier that was written about Donald Trump. And the dossier accused Donald Trump of doing horrible things with prostitutes in Russia. And, I mean, really twisted things with hookers in Russia. That was only a piece of what was in the dossier. Originally, this was all brought out as opposition research hired by the Clinton administration, the Clinton campaign. And then it was taken over by others. And what ended up happening here is accusations made out of nothing. Most of the accusations against Donald Trump in Russia were dispelled by looking at his passport because he wasn't there at the time that he was accused of doing these things. So from my side of the aisle, again, registered Republican, have been a proud Republican voter, was a volunteer on the Bush campaign in 2004, and have really kind of carried the water, so to speak, at times for conservatism and the Republican Party. What did the Republicans think of the witch hunt that was the investigation? And that's the words that were used, that there was absolutely no basis in fact for the Mueller report. There was no reason, there was no need to spend millions of dollars of taxpayer money to investigate claims that had been debunked already. And yet we did the Mueller report. Then we had multiple times where he testified and all the money spent and all of that. countless accusation and investigation after countless investigation after countless investigation, which we all said was the wrong thing to do. When it came to this ballot thing, there were so many people that were convinced that something was wrong. There was enough out there. As a matter of fact, in Maricopa County, they elected a different person to run elections. The county recorder was replaced after one term from the people in Maricopa County. So if the people of Maricopa County didn't have confidence in this, I understand. But when you say you're going to do a ballot audit, you have to do something that's going to build confidence in people. If you are going to do something that sounds as far-fetched as we are going to look for bamboo in the paper because somebody made an accusation of something, you better have more than someone said something. And they don't. And this is why people are very, very concerned about this audit. And more than anything else, you know that there's going to be political capitalism played here. What I mean by that is people on the other side of the political aisle are already gearing up to take anybody that's involved with this, and I will venture to say anybody with an R next to their name in the next election cycle, and connect them to this. And it's going to be a question. It's going to be a question asked in every debate over and over and over again. It's going to be asked by the press of anybody that comes out as a candidate. You're going to run for governor and you're a Republican. Someone's going to say to you, there was a ballot audit this year and they were looking for bamboo in the paper. Did you agree with the audit? And now it pits you against other people in the Republican Party. That's what this is doing. Now, is that a reason not to do the audit? Absolutely not. If the audit's necessary, do it. But if you can't come up with a better reason than we're dispelling rumors and myths, people are going to shrug their shoulders and say, that's not a good enough reason. I will go one step further with this. If this were a courtroom and you were a police officer going in for a search warrant and cops out there, even if you're in favor of this ballot audit, back me up. If you went in to see a judge or you filled out the application for a warrant and the judge read, we heard a rumor that some guy somewhere said there's 40,000 fentanyl packs or pieces of crack cocaine in this guy's house. Is any judge on the planet going to sign that search warrant saying, because some guy somewhere said it, where you're going to go search somebody's house? Well, we're searching people's private ballots. We are looking at the secret ballots. We're taking high resolution pictures. They're being downloaded onto laptops. There's a great reason why people are concerned. Now, I was a person, have been a person, remain a person that says, answer the questions. I thought what the Senate president said about the irregularities, what she said in an interview with Arizona PBS about not believing that we're going to find any irregularities, I thought that was the perfect thing to say. Let's get this audit over with. But I cannot believe for the life of me when the Arizona State Senate commissioned this audit and hired these people to do it, that they were going to bring people in that said you've got to look because of a rumor for bamboo in the ballots. I cannot believe that was a part of the conversation. And we'll see. We're going to find out. As this moves forward, and it's moving forward, we'll find out more about it. A big announcement from the governor's office and protections here in the state of Arizona on the Second Amendment. I'm going to give you details coming up here in just one moment.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Oh, happy Friday from the Mike Broomhead Show. Thank goodness it's the final segment of the show. I just posted on, if you're following me on social media, I just put up a post of the escapee. I have a brand new puppy. He's 9 weeks old. He's been at my house almost 10 weeks old. Been at my house less than 2 weeks. He's already figured out how to jump over the gate. And now I'm on the security cameras watching him wander around my house. Do you have any idea what I'm going to go home to?
That's so stressful.
It is.
Because you don't know what he's doing.
Oh, I know what he's doing. I just can't stop him.
Is he eating anything?
I'm sure he is. He ate. So somebody was nice enough. A friend of mine gave me a really cool, like a throwback magazine after Eddie Van Halen died of Van Halen. He ate it yesterday. I have a BiPAP because I have sleep apnea. Ate through the hose. I have to go get a new hose today. So I know what he's up to. I just can't stop him. And I don't have those kind of cameras you can yell into. I can't even yell for him to stop it. So I'm
not
trying,
that would do anything.
I'm trying not to watch because it's making me crazy.
Yeah, dude, you can't keep watching. You just have to know that it's happening.
So I posted a picture of him in the security camera. So it looks like he just robbed a 7-Eleven and I caught him running out the front door. It's one of those security camera pictures. It's up on
if you
social
have any
media.
Info about this dog.
Yeah. Oh, I have plenty of info, and I should post pictures of the mess he made. Oh, my gosh.
Just keep posting pictures of him.
Yeah, I certainly.
People will follow you.
Better than pictures of me. You know there's a thing called Dogs of Instagram?
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway,
it's a whole world, dude.
No one cares about me lamenting what I'm going home to, but that's what's happening. Governor Ducey today signed legislation to protect the Second Amendment rights of Arizonans. So here's a quote from the governor. With efforts currently underway in Washington to erode Second Amendment rights, Arizona is taking action to protect those rights. In Arizona, we're safeguarding manufacturers, sellers, and trade associations. Bad actors need to be held accountable, and we'll work hard to make sure they are. But we're not going to allow lawsuit after lawsuit to slowly tear down the constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens in our state. So Senate Bill 1382 achieves this goal, and I'm grateful for Representative Quang Nguyen and Senator Wendy Rogers for leading an important legislation. So it prohibits the state and all entities of the state from suing a member of the firearms industry for lawful design, marketing, distribution, and sale of firearms and ammunition to the public. It's a great bill. The Second Amendment is a way that you've heard the president talk about. Nothing is absolute and all these other things. It's either a right or it's not a right. And we have a right to keep and bear arms, number one. So they've tried to tear it down from a ton of different angles. They've talked about taxing bullets so high that you can't afford them. Washington, D.C. had such an oppressive law on carrying a gun. I'm being serious about this. I believe it was if you were traveling with a firearm, even if you were going to the gun range, the gun had to be dismantled and the bullets had to be in a separate compartment from the gun, and the gun had to be in a locked box in your trunk. You can't protect yourself with that firearm. It defeats the purpose. They were found to be unconstitutional in that law. So now the new angle is allowing people to sue firearms manufacturers when somebody else does damage with a firearm. The problem with that is these guns are designed to kill. That's what they're designed for. The purpose isn't for hunting. And well, let me be devil's advocate. How about if we go after the people that designed motor vehicles to go excessive speeds? How many people out there, how many people within the sound of my voice have a Corvette? How many people out there are driving a really nice car that goes very fast? A Ferrari. You know, what purpose do you have to have a vehicle when the speed limit maximum is 75 miles an hour? Why do you need a car that approaches speeds of 200 miles an hour? And if you drive a car at an excessive speed of way over 100 miles an hour and you kill somebody with that car, we're going to sue the manufacturer of the car because they sold it to you. That's what they're trying to do with the gun legislation. It's unfair, but it is a way for them to try to destroy the firearms industry, because none of these lawsuits are going to be successful. Or I should say very few would be successful in any regard, but they still have to spend money on lawyers. And they would have, you know what the insurance cost alone to be a firearms manufacturer would be? It would render firearms almost irrelevant. You wouldn't matter because they couldn't make them. And that's what they're trying to accomplish. And that's what this piece of legislation stops. So it's a great thing. Frivolous lawsuits, you cannot sue the manufacturer. You want to sue somebody that sold someone or gave someone a gun, that's one thing. You know, we have rules here in Arizona, and I'm sure in the rest of the country, if a bartender overserves someone, the bartender and the bar can be held accountable for part of that. But no one goes after the liquor manufacturer. No one says there's too much alcohol in that. It's too much of a high alcohol content. And in this regard, it's the wrong thing to do because the motive is to end gun ownership. I think the governor did an excellent job of signing this. It's a great thing that he did, even for people that don't own or know anything about firearms. How do you go after the manufacturer when somebody else does something wrong? A horrible analogy is the man that stole the vehicle from a car dealership and ran over two police officers. You're not going after the manufacturer of the vehicle or the person, you know, the person that owned the car dealership. You go after the person that committed the heinous act. And that's what they should do. And so this is a great piece of legislation. It's going to be one more protection here in the state of Arizona for firearms ownership. There may be challenges against a federal law that would allow someone, but could you sue someone in federal court? I don't know how this is going to go, but there is an attack on your Second Amendment rights. There's no doubt that that's happening right now. This president said when asked about confiscating AR-15s, bingo. So they're doing it. This is just a way to stop that from happening. Out of time. If you want to follow me on social media and see the devastation my dog has done, I'm at Broomhead KTAR on Twitter or Mike Broomhead, all one word, on Instagram. Would love to keep in touch. Hope you got a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to the moms out there. God bless.